Today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.
The compassion of Christ is overwhelming because he's coming and offering life. He's bringing an end to the 38 years of wandering so that today people could enter that rest through him and not be as Israel.
That is the focus today here on Abounding Grace as we turn our attention to John. We're looking in at chapter 5, verses 1 through 15, the helper of the helpless. Ever find yourself helpless? Helpless against the sin in your own life, the struggles that surround you? We do have a helper. We'll see him clearly in chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. Here's Pastor Chris in today's program.
That this pool was the place where this miracle would happen, that as soon as the waters stirred, an actual angel would come down from heaven and he would touch the waters, and whoever got in first was healed. That was the belief about the pool. So, as common tradition has it, that many people, the scribes, would insert this into a footnote to explain, kind of like a Bible with notes on the sides, a footnote to explain why this was believed, and the general view is that it was ended up in the text over time. It really doesn't matter, because the point is, this was a superstitious pool. We have these things today. Think of Bath, England, where you can go to Bath and they believe, this is why it was called Bath, you'd go in these waters, and if you drink the waters, you would be healed. I remember last year taking my boys on a trip to Glenwood Springs, Colorado, and they believe the same thing in Glenwood Springs, Colorado. So I said, I'm going to go try this thing out. So we sat out there at all this this pool. And I was in the pool and I looked around with about 100 people next to me and thought, this is absolutely gross. I'm out of here. I did not want to do that. Nothing happened. I didn't feel better at all. We have all these superstitions. We have all these remedies of people who have aches and pains and real sicknesses, real sicknesses. And the imagery here is this. You know this. You know that people are desperate to find remedies to all their problems. They're obsessed with this stuff. Verse 7 says, when this water was stirred up, if you stepped down into it, they believed you'd be healed. Now, I want you to keep in mind that we have just come out of a story of Jesus saying that he gives what? Living water. There's a tie that John is working with here. He's the one that is the fountain of life. Remember, Jews believed that water should be springing and bursting. It should always be running and full and happy. That sort of sense of fresh water springs. That's where life came from. They believed this. But this pool, only when it bubbled. So you see the challenge here. I really can't convey how awful of a scene this is. It's really a bad scene. A place full of invalids who can't control their bodily functions. A place that tells you there are bodies really of dying people everywhere. It's a horrid place to be. The smells, people's flesh rotting from leprosy. All sorts of diseases. It's unclean, this whole place. The closest thing in our day are probably rest homes, but that's like living in the Hilton compared to this. Most of them were abandoned. Most of them, their family did not care for them. They were all gathered into one place. No hospitals. You weren't hauled off to Palomar. Regardless of age, just picture this with me. Cancer. Everything coming together at this localized spot of misery. Death is in the air. Death is in the air. We live in a day of the best medicines and treatments ever, but nothing can take certain things away. We know that. Every now and then we stop and we see a wheelchair. Every now and then we stop and we see a hospital bed. And you know what our thought is? with some of the people who face these things, we know there's nothing in this life that can change that scenario. That's where we are. This is the burden of the human race. I'm tired of listening to Hollywood tell me with their cancer walks that they're going to beat cancer. They're not going to beat cancer. And yet we do it all the time. So, where are the shepherds of Israel? You kind of have to ask that at this point. Where are the shepherds of Israel? Not there. I'll come back to that. In verse 6, Jesus comes into this place. What a compassionate Savior. He enters into this place. I'm sure his disciples thought, what are we doing here? And Jesus now zeroes in on one man. Now, John has shown us this over and over. John has shown us that he's on a calendar. He had to be in Samaria for the woman at the well. And now he has to be here for this man. He walks into the pool of Bethesda and stops. And he lays his eyes on a man who had been sick for 38 years. That is one long time to be an invalid. You really have to feel that for a second. You think about it, 38 years. People don't live long in these days. His whole life, he has been in this terrible predicament. His whole life, he's been sick. Jesus comes, sees them all, and he stops right at this one man. And he says to him, think of this question. Do you want to be made well? Now he's been wanting to be well for 38 years. That's quite a remarkable question, isn't it? You want to be made well? To which you have to stop and say, something is really being shown to us here, and Jesus is really showing us a real problem when he asks this kind of a question. Because there were other people who were sick. Think of the man with the withered hand in Mark, who comes up to Jesus and says, if you're willing, will you make me well? And Jesus says, I'm willing. And this guy doesn't say anything. Do you want to be made well? Sir, I have no one to get me and put me into the pool when the waters are stirred up. While I'm coming, another always beats me in there. What an exposing moment. The pool, the fountain of life, is standing right in front of him. And this man's heart has been looking to a superstitious pool for a long, long time for an answer. He listened to everyone else. And the problem is that he's so unable to get himself in the pool, no one would ever help to get him in. No one would touch this man. No one would ever help to get this man in the pool. And then it would never heal him. And you stop and you say when you have these moments, this is exactly what the Lord is teaching us of what sin has done to us. When you look at the spiritual realities of these things, what this is showing us is that sin has made us this, not just unclean, but this unable, total inability, because of total depravity, total inability to do anything to remedy your situation. Absolutely nothing in this life. How many of you experience this sort of lack of power as you go through daily life? Maybe it's physical today. Maybe there's some here who have ongoing chronic physical things that are getting worse and worse and worse, and it's crippling you. Maybe it's something from your past. Does sin hold you? Is there a sin that continues to plague you that you are absolutely powerless to beat? And it's the same old story. For 30-some years, I've been fighting this sin. Could you say that? How little, really, when you think about it, all the struggles. I mean, think even of Christian life. Even as a believer, don't we experience this powerlessness? I know I should give more. I know I should do more. I know I should pray more. I know I should love my wife more. I know I should stop this addiction. I know I should honor my parents. I know I should have more desire for God's word. And nothing but guilt. Weak. Powerless. You know this. And we're ever trying. This man is very much us. He's common to experience. He's common to what we know of a lack of power. Now, here's the question. Do you want to be made well? I've tried everything, says the man. I just can't get into this pool. And the point of the text is, Jesus is the pool. He's the only one that can give the healing. He's the only one that has the power to regenerate legs and regenerate hearts and regenerate lives. And even in daily Christian life, without me, said Jesus, you can do nothing. You have no strength. That's why you constantly feel powerless. But here's the big moment. I think the blindness of this man to see Jesus and believe Jesus is meant to be contrasted. After he heals him, and I'll come back to that shortly, did you read what John included in verse 9? So he heals him, and that day was the Sabbath. And you say, oh no. You shouldn't have done that. Did you know you're going to infuriate the Jews? And the answer is yes, he did. He did it on purpose. It's such a fascinating text. He just told the man to get up and carry his bed. Jesus knows everything. He knew exactly what this would create. He knew exactly the problem that it would create. And that's what he wanted to bring out and expose at this moment. He wanted the problem to be brought out right here and exposed. Sure enough, here come the Jews enraged. Look at what follows up. And the next day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, it's the Sabbath. It's not lawful for you to carry your bed today. The man had been sick 38 years and hadn't been able to get up. And they're mad. Think about this. They're mad that he got up on the Sabbath. Now, do you think John does anything without a purpose? Do you think 38 years means anything? I looked, and there's only one other place in the Bible you find that. You want to know where that's found? I know you do. Deuteronomy 2. Let me read this to you. Verse 14. And the time we took to come from Kadesh Barnea until we crossed over the valley of Zered was 38 years. Until all the generation of the men of Israel was consumed from the midst of the camp. Just as the Lord had sworn. Remember what happened? They get to the border of the land. The Lord had brought them out of Egypt, delivered them out of Egypt. He brings them, gives them the law, brings them all the way to the border of the land. Within 2 years, they got there. 2 years they got there. They're at the border of the land. And remember what happened? It was a mess. Read it. Read Numbers. They get there. And they didn't enter the land, so God rerouted them and sent them back on a circuit for 38 years. Wandering. Hebrews tells us they didn't enter because of unbelief. They didn't enter what? Their Sabbath. Their rest. And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Jesus is the Sabbath. Jesus is their rest. And they won't enter through him. And I believe, as this man won't come to living water for healing, they won't come to him as their Sabbath. This man was meant to show us, just like Israel of old wandering and not entering the Sabbath, that generation never entering their rest, so too Israel was still wandering. Israel was still wandering. Israel still hadn't entered by believing. Their religion was dead. Hear me. Their religion was dead. They had created a system that confined them to their mats. Do you hear me? They had created a system that confined them to their mats. They couldn't move on the Sabbath. And we're going to look at next week. Is that what the Sabbath was about? See the irony here? John is showing us. You can't get away from the irony of this. They were just as paralyzed. They had created a system that kept them from coming to Christ themselves. And the point of this narrative is, just as this man is lifeless, so too are they. In fact, he represents them. And he helps us to see them. He's trusting in a pool that he can't get up into. They're trusting in a Sabbath that they can't get into. They're not keeping it. And they're just as lifeless. You can hold a rabbit's foot and you can hold a rosary and accomplish the same thing, can't you? You can say, God, I thank you that I'm not that bad sinner. I go to church, I give my tithes, I pray. And over at Palomar right now is a person right now dying who's sick. And you can be just as dead on the mat in the bed as them. That's a painful comparison. Imagine asking the question to the Jews, Israel, are you willing? See the effect of that now? Are you willing to be healed? And this is where we come to the final point of the incredible compassion of Jesus. In Numbers, 38 years was the end of them. Now, with Jesus, the end of 38 years is life. You see, Israel of God. I mean, wonderful. Wonderful. He says here today, notice what happens to him. They come and question the man, who is it that healed you? Who said this to you? And the man says, I don't know. I don't know who did this. It dawned on me that may be the strongest point of the text right there. That where the two stories come together is no one knew him. And the remarkable point was, is that Jesus had healed this man and there was no faith. We don't see any faith from him until he's done. And how in the world could you be an invalid for 38 years of your life, right? 38 years of your life and not know the one who delivered you out of the land of Egypt? See? There's the comparison. All that the Lord had done for them, all of his goodness to them, all of his provision, the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, and yet no faith. See, that's the effect of this passage. That's what this passage is challenging us to. So how does this account end? Well, the account ends with Jesus finding him in the temple. Jesus is not done. Jesus goes and finds him in the temple, and his words are surprising to us. He walks up to the man and he says, see, you've been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. It's one of the more troubling statements of Jesus, because you stand back and say, what are you saying, that his sickness was a result of sin? And you have that whole discussion. That's not in this really discussion. In some sense, it may have been, but the Jesus' point is what's really important here. And it goes like this. Stop looking for any other way of salvation. Any other hope. Any other thing that you're looking to. Any bit of your law keeping. You must come to me. Lest a far worse thing happen than 38 years of just wandering. Sin no more by refusing your rest. The compassion of Christ is overwhelming because he's coming and offering life. He's bringing an end to the 38 years of wandering so that today people could enter that rest through him and not be as Israel. I think it's the closest thing in the Gospels to Ephesians 2. I really do. You have been saved. Think about this truth. By grace, you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. When you're saved, when Jesus gets a hold of you, and you're finally free, you're free from the endless attempts in your life to solve all of your misery. Don't you want to be free from that? The Gospel of John is the gospel of belief. That's why this gospel is so wonderful. It's challenging us in every direction, in every angle about belief. Belief in the Son of God. Belief in God's gift to the world. Belief in Him as your Savior. The only way anyone is saved and enters the rest is by coming to Him. You see, when we see all this sickness in the Bible, and we see Jesus' compassion on people, He heals with the purpose that sinners would believe Him. This is your story. This is your story. So all that you've received in this life, think of the blessings of the Lord. Think of how good He's been to you. Think of the church we worship in. Think of the faith. Think of the truth, the deposit of truth that has been handed to you. Think of the generations of believers who believe this. Think of how He's filled your lives with food and gladness. Think of all of the sheer goodness He's rested down upon you. Do you walk away from that? Do you never come to worship with any kind of affection and joy for Him? He's your Savior. Believe Him. Believe in Him. What is it in your life that's rendering you helpless? What sin? His power, with just a word, ends it now. There's no power that He is not able to give you. It's the very resurrection power, says Paul, that rests upon you, His resurrection power for all who believe. So here are the command to you today, wherever you are. Get up. To the person trusting in their works righteousness and their obedience and their Sabbath keeping, get up. To the person who's the invalid in this life, struggling, just trying to figure this out, get up. To the person beat in sin, get up. That's what He says to you. Come to your rest. The legalist will tell you, it's not lawful for you to get up today. Get up. And verse 15 says, the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Ah, now he's testifying. Now he's testifying. He saw him, he lived, and he was made well, truly. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Come to Jesus, in Him is life.
Growing in Christ, that you may abound in grace through the preaching and teaching of God's Word. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Our time together today in the book of John. If you have questions or comments, as always, you are welcome to reach out to us. A couple of ways to do so. Our website is a great place to start, agradio.org. You'll find a lot of resource materials there, other blogs, other articles written by Pastor Chris, as well as friends of the ministry. And then, of course, take advantage of all the past radio programs, and they are available, again, right there at agradio.org. If you have a question, reach out to us by sending that question to questions@agradio.org or call 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Abounding Grace Radio is also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Visit our website for links to the platforms that you like to follow. And then also remember that we are listener-supported, which simply means that we rely on friends such as yourself, the ministry, to continue the ministry here on this station that you're listening to. one-time gift, monthly gift, small, large, however the Lord leads. We love to partner with folks who enjoy the ministry and like to see it grow in grace. So would you consider that as you reach out to us? And then join us next time for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.